We left off last week. We were talking about just some of the details as to what constitutes a rov, what constitutes makpid. It tells us as Allah Moshe Sinai that it only is considered to be a chatzitz in the Torah, but meets both of those conditions. So we spent a little bit of time talking about how you calculate rov on the goof, on the say, on 1 unit, 2 units. Then we spoke a little bit about how to determine whether you have makpid or not. So we mentioned that there was a question to be shown whether makpid is defined by the person themselves being tovel, or is defined by the general standards, or makpid that includes both. Then we mentioned the major question of what about hakpada liachas man? It means right now I'm not really so machmir. Right now I'm pretty okay with what's going on, but I'm okay with the item being on my body. But there's going to come a time in a little while from now where I'm not going to be so excited about it. So the raya that arrived from the Mishnah that's a problem, because the Mishnah speaks about jewelry being machmir, rings being machmir. So the Ravid asks, why is a ring mocked? If a woman wants to wear a nice ring, why is that hakpada? The answer is right now she wants it, but it's going to come a time when she wants to knead the dough, wash the dishes, other things, and she's going to want to take it off. So that's considered to be a davar mocked even right now. So the Zichron Yosef breaks it up by saying that doesn't apply all the time. It was unclear what that means. Rav Moshe had a chiddush. Rav Moshe claimed that that means as follows. That if you have something that has a set time to come off, it's not coming off for another week. Why? Because the doctor told me it's not coming off for a week. The dentist told me it's not coming off. The other reason why, there's no way in the world it's coming off for X amount of time. So that's not the case of the Mishnah. That's not the case of the ring. The case of the ring is only in a scenario where she may come to knead dough or wash dishes at any given moment. So that's called a davar machbir even right now. Even if it doesn't look like she's planning, it's not on her, it's not on a list of things to do tonight, but she could. She may end up doing the washing cane. We mentioned last week, if the dentist says, I don't want to see it for a week because the area's not healed yet, so you can't take out such and such a thing for another week. So maybe one could argue that's not called the davar mach. That was Rav Moshe Shita. So I'm eager that Rav Moshe held that way. And that was one of his tzedavdim to be mekel on temporary fillings. So we mentioned last week, Rav Moshe has a long, long chew. We just extracted a very small part of it. But Rav Moshe says that if you have a temporary filling, and the dentist said, don't come back for another 2 weeks, and we're assuming that that's called the zman kavua. The dentist here, 100% thrilled with that, that's even called the Zman Kavua. Assuming Naniach, that's called the Zman Kavua, that would be Tzav L'Hokam. But notwithstanding Rav Moshe's approach to this, so again, there were people who disagreed. But some people can say that's not the correct shot, that's not what the Zman Yosef is driving at. And there is no independent klal called a Zman Kavua. Is there any other klal, similar kind of klal, that could perhaps be lenient based on? So there was some Acharonim who say that just if you make it outright and say, well, this is Zman Kavua, and therefore it's not a problem, that's not acceptable. Some Acharonim say, if it's a Zman Kavua, and the Zman Kavua is a long time, it's a significant amount of time, of course that's going to leaving us to determine X, what does significant amount of time mean? But if it's a significant amount of time, then we can in effect fall back on Rav Moshe's idea. But Moshe was willing to say his svara even without any given amount of time, as long as there's X, whatever X is, could be a day, could be a week, could be a month, a year, whatever it is, as long as psychologically it's not coming out, medically really, dentally it's not coming out. Other Achrim say no, it has to be some kind of an objective Shia. And the question is, what's that objective Shia? So different poskim throw out different numbers. And again, these numbers are not written in stone because they're not numbers that we find in Luchas Chatzitza. There are numbers that we find in other areas of Halacha to determine kviyas. So some Acharonim say 30 days. 30 days, that's called Keva. That may be true in Luchos Mezuzah, maybe it's called Keva. Luchos Tadok is called Keva. Other areas of Halacha, that's already hard to say, that carries over here. Other Acharonim write 7 days. So we find that maybe in Luchos Shabbos, maybe a Keshet Shel Kayom according to some 7 days. So we have these different numbers of Kviyas. 7 days is an important number in Halacha, so the days of the week. And 30 days are the days of the month. But in terms of the impact in Luchos Chatzitza, we don't really have any sources for that. So again, there are different opinions about this. There are some who just make it outright, like Rav Moshe. And there are others who say, no, that if and when it's plus 7 days, 30 days, those kinds of numbers, then we have a right to be more lenient. The Bar Yeshulchan has a Shaila, even a Niyach to those, I don't mean arbitrary in a negative sense, but those almost arbitrary numbers, in Uchas Chatzitza, how do you cheshbon them? So let's say a woman comes, and she says, you know, I have this temporary filling in for the last 3.5 weeks, and it's not going to come out for another 5 days. So is that called kavua? Because in the end of the day, it's been in for a month. Well, it's going to be in for a month. On the other hand, it's coming out in 5 days. So how do you cheshbon these 7 days and 30 days? It's 7 days and 30 days from when it was put in, or when from here until it's taken out? Again, it's very hard to answer that question because we're not really sure where the numbers came from. But you got to find Chazal aren't going to talk about this because they didn't talk about these numbers. So the whole thing is very, very vague. If you go down Ramesh's route, so then we have a definitive, you know, way of determining, namely, is it something that's kavur l'zman? How long is man? I don't care, 2 days, 3 days, 5 months, it doesn't matter, as long as it's kavur l'zman, so that would be okay. And according to others, once you start introducing these other shiurim, and we're not sure number one what the shiur is, and we're not even sure how to determine, to calculate whether you have the shiur there. So there are different practices and different rabbanim about this in Eretz Yisrael. They tend to be a little bit more machmir about this, some of the poskim in Eretz Yisrael. They quote from Yashin and others who did not buy into this just kula that Ramosha had. And in America, I think there are many rabbanim a little bit more makel about this. So again, Yeshu Yesh, there are rabbanim and machmir in America about this also. But there are different approaches to this shayla, whether you go down Ramosha's route straight out, or whether you have this almost like a touched up Ramosha's idea, which again opens it up to a lot of, to somewhat a degree of ambiguity.
You extend this also to not just the mouth, let's say a person has like plates or screws.
Right. So even according to Ramosha, how far does this go? So would Ramosha go even out of the base of Storm? Ramosha was only talking, the tshuva was talking about in the mouth. You know, if you take Ramosha's logic, it should apply to everything also. It could be a coolers for screws and stitches and casts, it could be a potential cooler for a lot of things. But we're going to see, we didn't even touch the base of Storm yet. Well, maybe there's a little bit more ground to be more making on the base of Storm than in other places. So maybe we're not so sure we should extend it. So anyway, that's the really important point as we go on.
Well, do we say that people, like in Rabbanim in America, that Rabbanim make all this?
I can't speak for Rabbanim because some of the Rabbanim I've spoken to. So
right.
I imagine there are a lot of Rabbanim in America and this also.
So when they say that they follow this, meaning that even if it's been 27 days in and there's only 3 days left.
No, those who follow the pure emotion don't even ask the numbers. Those who follow emotion strength don't care about the numbers. I mean, there are chilukei days within their own community about this. There are different rabbanim have different answers about this question. There is another tzad l'hakel, particularly about the temporary filling that is helpful for temporary fillings, but it may not be able to help us in other cases. That's what, if you look at page 41, so Ramosha writes, it's in Maramukha number 5, it's the second half of Maramukha number 5, the Emsa Diva, Ramosha is responding back to the Shoel, who asked about the temporary fillings, and the Shoel himself, I don't remember who that was, whichever Rav asked him, came up with the following Svara, which Ramosha thought was correct. Ramosha besavta tambeis, another totally different reason to be maker. Forget about the reason of that it's zman kavua. The kaimin shagam achar hazman kishetasirenu lo taniach hanekev shebashen magula. When the temporary filling is coming out, it's going to be replaced with a permanent filling. So it's true that the temporary filling is quote unquote machpid. I don't want the temporary filling there forever, but I do want that place covered forever. Alatachav so a blumba kavua. Blumba means a filling. You're going to use a permanent filling there. Imkein eina machpedes sheyeh hanekev magula. So if you think about it, how do you define makbid? Does makbid mean I want to remove this chatzitza? But does makbid mean I want this place to be clear of chatzitzas? Salam de shashayla. So normally it's the same thing. So I have dirt on my hand. So I don't want the dirt to be there. I want my hand to be clean. But here I want to remove the temporary to put another permanent in place. So I never really want that opening the way my dental work is now. I know for a fact that's exactly what I want. I want that hole in my tooth to be covered with the other void. So maybe v'chein af al stiba zumach peres nasiro. Even though lemais you want to remove this filling, lo choshev makbid. That's not called makbid. Kevin shetachsov tistemehu. Since in the end you're planning on refilling it. So Ramosha says one could argue that that's already given up hope on that spot, and that spot is considered to be an eno makbid. So says Ramosha svar nechona ma'od. It's a gavaldik svar. He says. The truth is that they quote from Tzipa Sefrank, who was one of the earlier poskim also, who came up with this idea. This would be a great kula. Again, this wouldn't help with some of the other things, like the stitches and casts.
Or even braces will whip up, because you're not going to...
Right. You don't want the braces there forever and ever. Right. So it wouldn't help. This svar itself wouldn't help with the braces, right? So the thing that you mentioned, the idea of the braces. So braces, l'chora, should depend on a lot of the slumdos between Ramosha and the others. So a person puts in braces. Right now they want the braces to be there, and they want the brace to be there for, it's quite a zman kavua. So if you go down the second route of Ramosha, that you know the temporary is coming out to replace the filling, the braces, the mitzvah are coming out at some point, and they're going to be replaced with nothing. That's the whole goal. So the second svar wouldn't apply. But the first svar would apply, and the first svar would apply almost in a better way than Ramosha's case, because even those poskim who hesitant to apply Ramosha because they felt it's a very short span of time. Braces have been for years sometimes. So So one could argue that even the machmirim maybe would be made by the braces. So you almost have like svar zulkan lukan. The braces are, in one sense, they're a little bit worse than the temporary fillings. On the other end, they're perhaps a little bit better than temporary fillings. What's strange, and I never really, really understood this one, but it's very, I remember I still talked about this years ago, I never understood this exactly, that Rav Moshe was asked about braces. And Rav Moshe wasn't so thrilled about braces. At the end, he was making up other reasons. Rav Moshe wasn't outright making on braces. Rav Moshe thought that maybe braces are a problem. Then he turned around and had a little bit of a different kula on braces. Rav Moshe spoke about, he raised the question, are the braces there for real dental reasons, or they were there for cosmetic reasons? So Rav Moshe thought that if they're there for real dental, real formal, quote unquote, dental / medical reasons, so he thought that's considered to be less of a problem of being makbid. He was willing to be making on those. So they're there for cosmetic reasons. So then he was more noit to lahachmir, which is hard to understand because according to Rav Moshe Svara, what do I care what they're there for? At the end of the day, they're not coming off. Unless Rav Moshe thought that they're there for cosmetic reasons, then the person may just that whim decide to take them off. I don't know. Just spent $5,000 on braces. They're not taking them off in 2 weeks. So I'm not sure exactly what Rav Moshe meant about that. At the end of the day, Rav Moshe is making them there for dental reasons.
But so, whatever the smur is, so if a married woman puts on braces and they'll be for a year, she can't go to the legal.
No, so I'm saying, so according to the Machmirim, she shouldn't be having the braces in the first place. Right. According to those who didn't like the cool the braces. So Rav Moshe was making the end for the braces if the dentist says they're necessary. So he said, if the dentist are claiming they're necessary, so then that almost takes it out of the category of being a Dovra Machmir. That's more part of the goof. So I remember I asked a dentist once, and he said, it's a very hard call on this, because at the end of the day, there's always some dental advantage. So you tell me, okay, so no one's gonna die without the braces. So the mice, the last 5,000 years, people survive. On the other hand, if there's a need, so it does cause problems. There are reasons that the braces are better dentally also. Would she necessarily, at the age of 40, start putting on braces for that reason, or she'll deal with the infections as they come? So it could be that her real initiative is cosmetic, but it's almost like a zev zeh goreim. It's very hard to answer that. It's interesting that Rabbi Yeshulchan, who was not such a supporter of Moshe's kula, Rabbi Yeshulchan was one of those rabbanim who didn't want to be made outright on the temporary fillings just based on the svar of Rav Moshe. He's one of those rabbanim who said, you need 7 days, 30, he has the number 30 days. He was one of them, he's an American, he was one of the machmirim against Rav Moshe, and yet when it comes to braces, he's much more makel. So I remember years ago, and I was trying to put together this piece of this puzzle, I couldn't understand. I thought that if you're making on the fillings, then the braces are a no-brainer. If you're machmir on the fillings, then the braces you can begin to pimple about. But the shittas are not lining up exactly. Rav Moshe was the makel on the fillings, is not so makel on the braces outright. In the end, he's probably makel anyway for other tangential reasons. But at the end of the day, Lamaisa, the minig is, at least I can't think of what's going on, so the minig in America, many married women do have braces, and they are going to the mikvah, and they're relying on these different svaras, that either the original svar of Rav Moshe, or Rav Moshe himself didn't quite say it, by the braces, or they're relying on Rav Moshe's other kula by the braces, or they're relying on the Ashulchan, that's more than 30 days. At the end of the day, there are married women, from married women who are going to the mikvah, and we're not as concerned with chatzitza. Although in terms of absolute pure lomdus, it's not such a posh to shayla, but again, it's hard to be machmir.
Isn't it possible that the filling is more temporary as opposed to the braces in general?
Right, so it's the HVA, so then more temporary in the sense the filling is coming down in a couple of weeks. On the other end, it's more permanent because it's going to be replaced by permanent filling, unlike the braces that are going to be replaced by nothing. So I don't know. Go as far as we can. So this now opens up for us the next major issue relating to chatzitzas. And that's where exactly is there a problem with chatzitza? So we know the rules of rove and makbid, but which part of the body are we concerned with those chatzitzas? And this is going to introduce to us the topic of beis hastarim, the inner parts, the hidden parts of the body. Everything we've been talking about, the braces and the fillings, is assuming there's a problem of chatzitza in the mouth to begin. The answer is there is, and therefore we've been talking about it. But now we have to really go back to the beginning of this so you can see where does this come from, the whole idea that the mouth, that it's on the nose, it's on the ears, and all the different hidden crevices of the body. How come they are subject to chatzitz in the first place? And what are the unique halachas that govern them? So the sugya begins on page 41. At the bottom of page 41, it says CD 45, Beis Hastarim. So it starts out with the Gemara Maseches Nidin, Samach Vav Beis, V'yamarav. V'yolam yilamid adam misach beiso, shete isha madicha beis kmateh b'mayim. A man should instruct his wife, before she goes to the mikvah, she should wash out like the Beis HaKmatim, It's on the area, it's like a wrinkled area where the skin wrinkles and creases a little bit, so some dirt may get in. So you should be careful when you do your chafifa. Husband should remind his wife, she should make sure all those areas are clean as well. So yes, the Gemara question. Based on kamatu, based on storm, and in trichin the bias nine, that the Braisa says that the base kavatim, the areas that are not on the surface of the skin itself, so almost underneath the wrinkle, as well as the base starim, the areas inside the mouth, inside the nose, inside the ears, those kinds of areas are called the base sasim, it's hidden. Those areas don't need water altogether. So if they don't need water, so then presumably chatzitza is not a problem. So the Gemara gives the famous answer, heed the bias mayim lobo'inon, mokam aroel bias mayim bo'inon. Even though it is true, like the Braisa says, that there is no need for the water to come into the base of starim, into the mouth, into the ears. Nevertheless, you require ro'i levi'as mayim. The area has to be clear so that, in theory, water can be there. There's no mitzvah, you're not mechuv to open up your mouth when you go to the mikvah, but the water has to have the potential possibility to get there, and if you have a davar achotzei, it's inside the mouth, inside the ears, inside the nose, that's going to pose a problem. And how do we know such a thing? Where did this idea come from? So this is the Gemara's famous application, Kedir Rabbi Zeira, the Rabbi Zeira, that when a person brings a mincha, so one is supposed to mix the flour and the oil together, as the Torah says multiple times, belula b'shemen. But nevertheless, if a person didn't mix the flour and oil together, because the carbon is still kosher. So belilu, bila is for short. So bila is not ba'akim. You don't have to do bila. It's not part of the seder of karbonis that will disqualify the karbon if it's not done. But you're supposed to do it. But, however, if you don't have the ability to do bila, why can't you do bila? Because you have too much flour, too little oil, so the ratio is off. Then even if you try to mix it, it's just not gonna mix properly. It's like lahavdil when you have your cereal and your milk. A lot of cereal in the other, last couple of drops of milk, and you pour it in, and you go, oh my goodness, it didn't mix very well. Those are always the biggest problems, because then you go ahead and you open up another bottle of milk, and then you end up drowning the cereal, then you end up eating too much cereal, and then you end up eating three bowls of cereal instead of one bowl of cereal. Right? We're all in the same boat. So the Gemara says, when you have a mincha, you have to measure it properly. So the Mishnah Menachah says, what's the shear? So the Mishnah says, you can't have more than 60 flour to one ratio of oil. Yeah, but too much. The mincha is too big and too little oil, so then it's just not going to mix properly. And bila will be impossible. And what's so terrible if bila is impossible? Who cares? You don't have to do bila anyway, but the evidence, the answer is no. That calls man that you can't do bila, it's impossible to mix the two, then the entire mincha is disqualified. So the Gemara borrows that. That's a very, very strange comparison. The Gemara borrows that model from Hilchos Menachos and says, just as in Hilchos Menachos, the ability to do bila is critical, the actuality of doing bila is not so important. But the ability, theoretically, to do it is critical. So too, it is critical that the woman has the ability for water to come in. There's no chatzitza there, even though you don't need the actual water itself. So the Gemara said, that's the din. The Gemara now quotes a story to support this idea, that if you have a chatzitza in the base of starim, that's a problem. Also, once one of the maids, one of the women who worked in Rebbe's house, So she went to the mikvah. Penimsula etzem chaytzeh ben shenel. And when she came up, she realized she had a bone. She'd eaten a piece of chicken, a piece of meat before. There was a chicken bone stuck in between her teeth. V'tzricha Rebbe tvila cheres. And Rebbe Paskin, the maisa further, she had to go back to the mikvah. So this maisa shahaya supports this theory that Rav is telling us, and that is the din that you require the base of starm to be clear for tzitz. And of course, that's the halacha maisa today. Nevertheless, what's unclear is where did this whole story come from? This requirement of being free of chatzitza. Rabbi said it, and Rabbi supported by Rebbe, and the Gemara is explaining the lomdus is based on the idea of kol ra'ah levila, but where did Chazal get it from? What's this whole, where is this in the Chumash? Where this whole idea of base starim, a very, very strange formulation. You don't really need water, but you need water to be as nigh. What in the world is the source for this? So Tosfos, on the second of the Rambam Kabbalas, so Tosfos tries to show you that this is based on Sukkim. Vim Toimar. The Tvilim and Noah have been in Roy. Where does it say in each state that you require such a thing? So Tosfos says, the Yesh Lomar. Mishum dechsiv v'rochatz is called v'soro. The mashma afilu beis astar. When the Torah says v'rochatz is called v'soro b'mayim. You have to wash all of your basar. So basar, inside my mouth, it's also basar. So flesh, inside my nose, it's also basar. Inside my ears, it's also basar. So it sounds from one pasuk in the Chumash, you have to wash your entire body, including the base of star. Uchsiv. However, there's another pasuk by a zav that says uchsiv yadav lo shotach v'mayim. The Torah says describes a zav who has not yet gone to the mikvah that he hasn't yet tovled his hands. So the Gemara says, what? He hasn't tovled his hands. It sounds like he didn't wash it till shidayim. I mean, there's no din derais of washing your hands. So why does the Torah single out his hands? So the Teshuvah Bapeh explains to us, v'dashina we have a drasha, my yadav me avaroi, avko me avaroi, that yadav is an example of a part of the body, a limb, a part of the body that has to be tovel. What is unique about yadav is that it's something that is exposed. So this teaches us that ma'atim beis astorim, this is the source that you don't have to open up your mouth in the water. So now we have almost vying for our attention. We have two contradictory drashas. On the one hand, the Torah is presenting brachas as kol b'soro. Every last piece of flesh has to be toiveled, including inside your nose, inside your mouth, inside your ears. On the other hand, the Torah is saying v'yadav l'shatav v'mayim, which is limiting it only to things such as yadav. So Tosfos says, how do we resolve this seeming contradiction? So Tosfos explains, k'vidika kol d'ravina filo b'es astarim. Page 42, the Torah says, the stump of the pshat is that you require royal b'yismayim, but you don't really require b'yismayim itself. The stump of that's the answer to the resolution of psukim. Now, notwithstanding what Torah is saying, this is not a Gemara Torah is going. This is not a Torah is going. There's no Ma'ariv Chazal that points out the seeming contradiction of psukim. This is Tosfos trying to figure out what Chazal must have meant. So it's always very hard when you do that. We know the result. The result is that you need royal b'yismayim. You can't have a chatzitz inside your mouth. We know the result is you don't have to open your mouth and go to the mikvah. Every woman knows that. That's like chag lo yapa. No need to open your mouth to go to the mikvah, yet your teeth have to be clean. So how do you explain away that phenomenon? So Tosfos is searching. Where did this come from? It must be. It's based on psukim. It's got to be. If it's not based on psukim, then the whole thing wouldn't be true. The problem is, we don't have any Maimon Chazal to explain that this is correct, that these are the psukim. So Tosfos is guessing, mistamadat tibshah. So come other Rishonim and say, no, that in the absence of such drushes from Chazal, as great as the Valley of Tosfos are, we can't make up drushes on our own. So we can't guess what the drushes are unless Chazal tells us what they are. So how do you solve Tosfos this problem? So comes the Rashba, the third of the Ramakamos. And the Rashba tells us, Hadi Amrit, the Rashba, the Dushan Dachafe. Hadi Amrina, Nihidabi Esmaim, Lo Be'inan, Mokum, Aron, Vol, Esmaim, Be'inan, Kid Rabbi Zeira. Remember, the whole thing was based on Rabbi Zeira. It was based on the comparison to Rabbi Zeira. Says the Rashba, the comparison to Rabbi Zeira is not correct. Kashalon. You're building a whole case of requiring to get rid of the basis, the chitzin, the basis starim on Rabbi Zeira. The bishlav with Rabbi Zeira, but inan roy labi l'mishum dechsev belula b'shemen. Says when it comes to Rabbi Zeira's case that you have to have roy, you have to have bila. So I understand that because the Torah says explicitly belula b'shemen. It's hard to ignore the word belula says 100 times belula b'shemen. And then I understand why you need bila. Or there are some other examples where the Torah also, where the Gemara also applies the principle of Rabbi Zeira. It says, we continue on, it gives you a few other examples. Says the Rashba, the Gemara says in the Sechus Yevamos, when you do a chalitza, so one of the parts of chalitza is to say psukim. The man has to say his psukim, and the woman has to say her psukim. But the Mishnah says it's not ma'akev. If you left out the psukim, you just did the chalitz itself, b'diavad, the woman would be mutaris, the chalitz would be acceptable. Nevertheless,
I mean, if you just loosened her shoe.
But you just took off the shoe. If you took off the shoe and you didn't say anything when you're doing it, if she just took off the shoe, that would be b'diavad, be okay. But nevertheless, the Gemara does say, what if the man can't speak? The man's mute, he can't speak. Or the woman's mute, she can't speak. So that's a problem. So then, even b'diavad, the chalitz would not be acceptable. And the Gemara says, why? Because of Rabbi Zeira. Because you don't need to do the speaking itself, like you don't have to mix the flour and oil, but you have to have the potential, the possibility to do it. So I understand that din, says the Rashba, because there, the Torah says, you're supposed to say the psukim. The Torah says it black and white, you're supposed to say psukim. Like the Torah says, you're supposed to mix the flour and oil. Another example of a kriyas bikurim prekamarchas asfina, the din is that when a person brings the bikur, bring the first fruits to the base of Mikdash, so there are two parts of the mitzvah. You have to bring the fruit, and you have to say the psukim arami ovid ovid. You have to read the whole psukim with kriyas ha-pasha. If a person brought the fruit and didn't say kriyas ha-pasha, so b'diavad he would still be yotzik. The kriyas dam akev. But what if it's impossible for him to do the Kriya? And here the Gemara speaks about different reasons why that may be so. So then the Gemara says the same story, that then the Bikurim are no good altogether. Once again, you need Roy Le Vias Magni, Roy Le Kriya Saparsha. So the Gemara says, I got it also, says the Rashba. Because it says, V'yadisa V'yamarta, it says explicitly to do it. So all the cases, the truth is, Rashi just went through all of them. The Gemara has Rabbi Zeir's case in four cases: by mincha, by bikurim, by chalitza, and by mikvah. So says the Rashi, which of these four is not like the others? So by Rabbi Zeir's original case of the mincha, the Torah says it explicitly. By the case of the bikurim, the Torah says it explicitly. By the case of chalitza, the Torah says it explicitly. Al kan she'ein tzarich b'yismayim v'afilu lechatchila v'lama hutzuch l'makom roi b'yismayim. Nobody says you have to open up your mouth in the mikveh. Nobody says you have to have water in the base of star. So we're back to square one. So if nobody says you really need to open your mouth in the mikveh and you don't need b'yismayim, so why in the world do you need roi b'yismayim? So roi and b'yismayim, the potential for b'yismayim, the potential for kriya, the potential for chalitza, the potential for mincha, those I got, said the Rashba. But why should this, where did this thing come from? So the Yesh Mefarshim, the Rashba says, there are those who say this based on Ramban, the Midrabanan bi'alma. But the answer is that. The question is better than the answer. You're right. Min HaTorah, you don't have to get rid of the stuff in your teeth. Min HaTorah, you don't have to clean out your eyes. Min HaTorah, you don't have to clean out your ears. Min HaTorah, there is no din, even of chatzitz in the base of Starim. So why did Chazal institute chatzitz in the base of Starim if it doesn't exist in Min HaTorah? So the Rashi says, V'shet tzorech tefila kol gufo dvar Torah, Hiskinu the losh of the Shinayim, Shapami Magulin, Yutzrichim Ruin Lavobo Mayim. So it comes, the Rashman says, that although Midaraisa, there's absolutely no need to clean the chicken out, clean the bone out of your teeth, because Midaraisa, you don't have to open up your mouth altogether. Nevertheless, it's going to be very, very misleading. Because if a woman knows she's going to the mikveh with chicken and stuff in her teeth, and she's got stuff in her nose and stuff in her ears, and all the basic stuff are full of chatzitzes. So many people don't understand that's called a sastarim. After all, sometimes the mouth is open. Sometimes, you know, the tongue comes out. Sometimes you make a big smile, your teeth are exposed. So belosh of the other, people don't chap, that those areas don't really require tefillah. So a woman's going to think, oh, I guess the rabbi, do I have to get rid of the bone for the chicken? The rabbi says, no, it's okay. So she gives a big smile. She goes, ooh, look, everyone sees my chicken bone, that's okay. What's the difference? They see my chicken bone and they see my band-aid. What's the difference? This has to go in the mikveh, this has to go in the mikveh. She doesn't chav. That the mouth is part of the base of starim. So according to the Rashba, we just took the whole din of base of starim and just knocked it down a rung and said, all requirements of chatzitza, any din of chatzitza in the base of starim, are only midrabban. It can never ever be deraisa. Now, truth to be told, according to Tosfos, it's very unlikely you can have a chatzitza in the base of storm deraisa either. Because the only way you can have a chatzitza deraisa is if you have a rov. Now, how are you going to have it? Even if you have all your base of storm filled up with chatzitza, it's still not going to be rov. What Tosfos means is, let's say you have 49% of your body covered up with mud, and 51% you're clean, but you got a couple of chicken bones, and you got a couple of cook, and a lot of things in other places in the base of storm. So Tosfos says those will put you over the mark. So the base of storm, will they practically be a chatzitza deraisa? I would say the odds of having a chatzitza in the base of storm deraisa are next to zero. But the truth is, having a chatzitza in the body deraisa is also next to zero. So the Tosa says that at least in theory, the base of storm have to be clean of chatzitzas on love of deraisa. There's no fundamental difference between the requirement to be clear of chatzitzas on your body and the base of storm. They're all required with deraisa. It's all based on psukim. That was Tosa's dash of the psukim. Tosa's quoting here. Psukim, brachas kovasarim means even the base of storm. According to the Rashba, it's not true that according to the Rashba, it's only required mid the Rabbanan. The whole thing is the Rabbanan because it's not shayach to say that it's not on par. It's not the same as some of the other cases of Rabbi Zeir, the Minchah, the Bikurim, the Chalitz, etc. It just wouldn't make any sense for this to be a din deraisa. So the Ritva says the same thing as the Rashba, la halacha, albeit for a little bit of a different reason. We take a look at the fourth in the Ramakamos. Makam aroy levi esmayim, but Inan Omer Rabbeinu Neru. That's the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah was the Rebbe of the Ritva. He was a contemporary of the Rashba. So here he agrees with the Rashba halacha, though he disagrees a little bit with the Lamdas. The Hamid the Rabbanan the Alma. The Ra'ah says that the whole requirement of to be chatzitza free in the base of storm is on a midr Rabbanan. Why did they institute it? So the Rashba said they instituted it because sometimes the mouth is exposed. Here he said, hold the Inyan tuma dinik gugolam in the Torah. There are dinim. Dinim that sometimes base of storm is the same as outside. Certain details of Tumah, not all, it's Magen, Masad. There are details, but there are certain intricacies in Ilchus Tumah where sometimes the Halacha equates the base of stomach with the rest of the body. So therefore, Shavuot Rabbanim and Nitar and Nami Kegolui. But therefore, Chazal instituted that the Ma'aseh should be the same as the exposed part of the body. So according to the Rashba, the Gezeirah Rabbanim was made because people make a mistake in terms of physically it looks like it's sometimes galoy. According to the Ritva, they made the Gezeirah because halachically it's for the real Lamdanim. People don't know any. They're not too b'tara, so they're not going to make the mistake. But for the people who know a little bit, it's like the problem in life. If you know a lot, you're okay. If you know nothing, you're usually okay also. If you know a little bit, then you're usually in big trouble. If you know too much, you know enough to be worried, not enough to know what the answer. I assume in medicine you probably find that same phenomenon. So I know in halacha we definitely find that phenomenon also. So the bottom line is, b'en lefi rashi, b'en lefi ritva, that this whole requirement of beis hadar is only midrabbanan. So at the end of the day, you need it. At the end of the day, the Beis Hashem has to be clear of chatzitzas. Everyone agrees, Gemara is b'feirush, there's no shal about it. Whether we're looking at this through the eyes of a deraisa, that's tosis, or the eyes of a rabban, that's the rashi. And again, even if you look at it through the eyes of a deraisa, it's never going to really be deraisa, because it's never going to really be rov, or maisa, but at least it's as chomer as chatzitzas on the rest of the body. So this is a touch a little bit, and we mentioned about the teeth, and we'll come back to this a little bit later on, that there are certain kulas, perhaps, that some poskim are more willing to adopt in the realm of Beis Hashem than they are on the body. Why is that? So if you don't like tosis, that the Beis Hashem and mamish with the rice are the same as the body, and you just don't need bias my mamish, but hilchos chatzitza are the same in a Torah, so then your standards of chatzitza are going to be the same. If you make it on one, make it on the other. So if you go down the route of the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ra'oz, the Ritva, all these Gedolim, the Rishonim, who are saying that conceptually, though practically they're the same, but conceptually there is a difference. The Beis Hashem are never really going to even be in the ballpark of their Isa, that I could hear one arguing, wait a second, when you're dealing with something which is kulam with the Rabban, become with the Rabbanon, so then you have a little bit right, a little more wiggle room, a little bit more right to be maker. When you're dealing with the chatzitzas on the body, so just because we're maker for Svar X on fillings, doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be maker for stitches on the arm. It's not the same. Just because you make it on a, you know, on bracelet doesn't necessarily mean you can make it on a cast. You know, again, so the standards may be slightly different if you go down the route that there is some fundamental difference. There is an important question I'll mention next week we'll pick up with, is how exactly do you define Beis Hashem? How deep is Beis Hashem? So we said, oh, inside the mouth is Beis Hashem. Inside the nose, how far into the nose? Here? Here? Inside the ear? Here? Here? Where is the end of Beis Hashem? So the answer to that question may depend on, well, where did the din come from in the first place? If the din came from Tosfos Drushas, you may have one answer. If it came from the Rashi for the Ritva Svaras, for Xeris Rabban, you may have a totally different answer. So hopefully next year we'll try to talk about that a little bit, just how some of this longus plays out in terms of possibly some real shilas in terms of what is Beis Hashem and perhaps not even Beis Hashem.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah, probably too deep. Probably too